Radio Prague News. President Klaus is to meet with the leaders of all five parliamentary parties to try and resolve the post-election political stalemate. A team of American military experts are due to arrive in the Czech Republic next week to consider possible sites for a US missile base in Central Europe. And an investigation into a battle over the rights of two children by the Ombudsman's office has ruled in favor of their Argentine father. President Klaus is to meet with the leaders of all five parliamentary parties in the course of Thursday and Friday to try to resolve the post-election stalemate. Since June's inconclusive general elections, which gave the right and left bloc 100 seats each in the lower house, the leaders of the two biggest parties, the centre-right Civic Democrats and the Social Democrats, have been arguing over what kind of coalition government should be formed. The leader of the Social Democrats, Jiří Paroubek, has refused to support a centre-right coalition, and earlier this week he gave a lukewarm response to an offer to join the three parties in a rainbow coalition. Mr. Paroubek said he preferred to discuss other alternatives, such as a grand coalition or a minority Civic Democrat government, with tacit support from the Social Democrats. These scenarios were in turn rejected by Civic Democratic Party leader Mirek Topolánek, whose party won the elections but lacks a majority in parliament. It is not yet clear whether the lower house will make another attempt to elect a new leadership on Friday. The Social Democrats have refused to put forward a candidate for the post of speaker for the present time, and it seems there may not be anyone in the running. A team of American military experts are due to arrive in the Czech Republic next week to consider possible sites for a US missile base in Central Europe. The visit has been described as a fact-finding mission which places no commitment on the Czech Republic. Washington is also considering possible sites in Poland and Hungary. The possibility of having a US missile base on Czech territory has evoked mixed reactions in the Czech Republic, although several Czech politicians have already given the idea their support. Such a move would have to be approved by both houses of parliament. An investigation into a battle over the rights of two children by the Ombudsman's office has gone in favour of their Argentine father. The Ombudsman said on Wednesday that the children's mother, Marcela Krajinková, had violated the law, in effect abducted them when she took them out of the country without their father's consent. The mother took her case to court in the Czech Republic, hoping to be allowed to keep her children on the grounds that she was allegedly physically and psychologically abused by her husband in Argentina. When the court ruled that the two children should go back to Argentina, she appealed to the Ombudsman for help. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days should bring partly cloudy skies and temperatures between 26 and 28 degrees Celsius. Meteorologists have issued warnings about torrential rain and hailstorms in the coming 24 hours. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christy Ironside. Today's stories. The government talks continue, but are the two biggest parties close to some kind of deal? Some Czechs have already figured out a way to beat the new driving points system. Europe's largest board games festival is about to start in Pardubice. And later, we visit the home of magnificent rare Czech horses in Kladruby. Stay tuned. It's been over a month since Czechs went to the polls, and yet the country still lacks a new government. With the number of seats in parliament split equally between the left and the center and right parties, attempts at forming it have so far gone nowhere. Early elections have been ruled out by all parties, but talks on forming coalitions or minority governments have also failed to make headway. A new development on Tuesday, though, could lead to another way out of the political deadlock. Dita Asiedu reports.
It was clear from the very start that the Civic Democrats, who won most votes in the elections, would be faced with a difficult task. Their three-party coalition with the Christian Democrats and the Greens is one vote short of a majority in Parliament. And neither the Communists nor the Social Democrats, who've been in government for the last 8 years, have shown any intention of helping it pass a vote of confidence. On Monday, an invitation by Civic Democrat leader Mirek Topolánek for the Social Democrats to join a four-party coalition was also rejected. This would have allowed the Social Democrats to be part of the new government, but would have made it difficult for them to dissolve it should they decide to leave the coalition sometime in the future. But on Tuesday, the Social Democrats made their own proposals. Party leader and outgoing Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek said his party would be willing to join the Civic Democrats to form a caretaker government or support a minority Civic Democrat cabinet. Civic Democrat leader Mirek Topolánek, though, was quick to reject the offers. We've signaled long enough before the elections that both such proposals are unacceptable to us, he said. But Mr. Paroubek also offered to join forces with the Civic Democrats and change the electoral law.
Budeme uvažovat o takových úpravách volebního zákona, které umožní posílení.
We would consider making such changes which would strengthen the bigger parties, Mr. Paroubek said. While the Civic Democrats have rejected this proposal too, their founder and current president, Václav Klaus, has been a staunch supporter of an amendment to the electoral law. He has also not opposed the possibility of a grand coalition. Though on a 3-day trip to Romania on Tuesday,
jsem připraven po návratu z Rumunska setkat se s pěti.
I'm willing to meet with the 5 leaders of the parliamentary parties after I return from Romania to hear their opinions. The latest developments have set the stage for talks on an opposition agreement, one that Czechs are already familiar with. Under such an agreement, from 1998 to 2002, the Social Democrats formed a minority government and won parliamentary approval, in exchange for the Civic Democrats gaining the chairmanship of the Chamber of Deputies. Václav Klaus, who led the Civic Democrats at the time, welcomed the deal, as it was a way of knocking out the smaller parties in Parliament. The same agreement could be signed again. Only this time it would be the Civic Democrats in government.
Thank you, Dita. As of July 1st, drivers on Czech roads have been subject to new regulations and a point system that threatens to take away the licenses of dangerous drivers. Critics of the system say that it is too strict, that the fines are too steep, and that the point system is not void of potential corruption. And now there seems to be a new way for bad drivers to get around the threat of losing their Czech license. Linda Mashtalios has the story.
Many say that the new point system, which punishes dangerous drivers, has rapidly improved the state of civility on Czech roads. Yet its critics say that it's far too easy to lose your driver's license. In any case, it seems that Czechs have uncovered a way around the threat of losing their driver's license. Because of no common databases, it is possible to simply apply for a license in another country. Marcela Žižková, spokesperson for the Czech Ministry of Transportation, explains the situation concerning a common EU database through which police could access someone's complete driving record.
So far, no such thing exists. However, at their recent meeting, the ministers of transportation of EU countries agreed that they will work towards passing a regulation that would impose an EU-wide ban on drivers who have their license taken away in one member state.
As far as acquiring a second or even a third driver's license in a country other than the Czech Republic, Marcela Žižková explains how issuing offices are meant to prevent people from holding multiple licenses.
This should definitely not happen because in the case of EU member states, it is not possible to possess two driver's licenses at the same time. When issuing offices in EU countries hand out a new driver's license, they should first require that any other driver's licenses issued by other EU states be turned in. This old driver's license is then sent back to the office of the country in which it was issued.
následně odeslán státu, který jej vystavil.
However, the Ministry of Transportation also admits that without a common EU database, there is no way to ensure that all citizens of Europe only hold one driver's license. A lawyer for Auto Club Czech Republic, Zdeněk Svátek, says that it's possible for Czechs to acquire an alternate driver's license in another country, and this within a few days and with minimal cost. The Daily Lidové Noviny quotes Mr. Svátek as saying that the further east you go, to places like Ukraine, the easier it is to get around the regulations. So Czech drivers who have racked up more than 12 points and had their license taken away can get a new one elsewhere, though their name will still appear in the country's traffic police database. As far as foreigners in the Czech Republic are concerned, Marcela Žižková explains what is required of them.
Jiná situace ale nastává u řidiče, který není občanem některého státu Evropské unie.
A different situation applies to a driver who's not a citizen of an EU member country. In this case, if a foreigner has long-term residency in the Czech Republic, it is this person's responsibility to exchange his or her driver's license for a Czech one within 3 months. The original driver's license is kept by the issuing office in the Czech Republic, and the person is given a new Czech driver's license. When the person's residency in the Czech Republic ends, she or he is required to return the Czech license in exchange for the one issued by their home country.
So while the dual license possibility exists, it may not be so effective a loophole for Czech citizens after all. The points they rack up at home will be stored on file, but whatever infractions committed on roads abroad do not register with the Czech police, at least not for the time being.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague.
Hrajem šachy, dáma, dáma, bébě. Černý jezdec přišel dám mě vstříc. Kluku pěšákům se cítí lépe. Ona ví, že chci dávno říct. Má bílá královno.
That was a popular 1980s pop song listing chess pieces by Kotwalt and Hložek. Chess, bridge, and board games are the focus of a festival in the East Bohemian town of Pardubice starting on Thursday. Organizers say it is the biggest European event of its kind, as they are expecting some several thousand participants from all over the world to take part in tournaments and contests in different games. Pavla Hrakova has more.
The town of Pardubice, probably best known for its Velká Pardubická cross-country steeplechase, is getting ready to welcome a wholly different kind of sporting event. Rather than physical fitness, the participants will exercise their brains in a multitude of disciplines, from chess to backgammon to Scrabble. Petr Pisk is one of the organizers.
This is 17th year of International Festival of Chess, Bridge and Games, Czech Open. We are expecting more than 4,000 people from all the world. We started with chess, but now the festival increased for bridge and other games. For the main tournaments in chess, there is registered already more than 1,800 people from 50 countries from all the world.
Czech President Václav Klaus is expected to play a game of chess in Pardubice, as is the legendary Czech ice hockey goalkeeper Dominik Hašek. But, as Petr Pisk says, there will be more famous names at the festival.
In the chess section, there will be the best player in the Czech Republic, Mr. David Navara, who is the number 14 in the world ranking. There will play also Grandmaster Mosesian. This is the man who is nationally Slovakian, but he is living in Pardubice. He is the best player in Slovakia. There will be also other interesting people. For example, we are the competition in Sudoku, where will be the world champion Jana Tylová, our very known folk singer Jaromír Nohavica will play the tournament in Scrabble. And many other interesting people will participate in this festival.
If you can't make it to Pardubice in the next couple of weeks for the International Festival of Chess, Bridge and Games, you can still watch selected chess games and bridge competitions online at the festival's website, www.czechopen.net.
Thank you for that report, Pavla. Now, another chance to hear this report from Kladruby, where they have been breeding rare dress horses for over 400 years. In Spotlight with Ian Willoughby.
Welcome to Spotlight, in which this week I've come to the Národní žebčín, or National Stud, at Kladruby nad Labem in central Bohemia. Here, by the banks of the River Elbe, unique old Kladruber horses have been bred for over four centuries.
It was founded in 1579 by the Habsburg Emperor Rudolf II. The reason why he started, or his father Maximilian II, he started to breed these horses in Kladruby was to have their own Spanish blood horses for ceremonial purpose.
Says Susanna Šancová, who works at the stud farm and is an expert on old Kladruber horses. She'll be our guide for today.
These horses were used in a curd in Vienna, in Austria, and also in Prague for special occasions as a driving horses.
We're in the stables here now, and very near us, there are quite a few of these horses. Could you describe them? What kind of horses are they, or even in terms of size for our listeners?
Yeah, so these are quite heavy, warm-blood horses.
Sorry, when you say warm-blooded, are some horses cold-blooded?
Yes, but we are not interested in cold-blooded horses or draft horses. These are very noble horses, and they have noble heads with a typical shape, called Roman nose, and then they have quite strong neck and long body. For them is typical also the trot, the movement of trot. They are well known for their high action by the front legs, and also we breed these horses in grey and black colors, and all grey horses are born in dark color, so the foals are dark brown, black.
So these horses, basically their job is to look good?
Yeah. It's very important because in past they were very close to emperor and his family, and they must be very noble. The exterior of these horses must be perfect.
Today, for instance, would some of these horses be used, I don't know, by the Queen of England or someone like that? Are they in use?
Yeah, we sell horses to Sweden and also to Denmark. In Stockholm, they are used for great music. You can imagine that they have maybe more than 60 horses as an orchestra, and there are five horses in the front row in white or grey color, and they use Kladruber horses because they are very calm. They are not afraid of noise, and the riders, they play trumpet. And also in Denmark, they use Kladruber horses for driving for their queen.
As we were hearing a few moments ago, Kladruby was established way back in 1579. Surely that must make it one of the oldest stud farms in the world.
Maybe it's not the oldest, because we know about stud farms which were founded earlier than Kladruby. But Kladruby, or Kladruber horse, is kept in Kladruby more than 400 years, and it's very important because we know about older stud farms, but the original type of horse is destroyed or is not kept into this time. So in old German stud farms nowadays they breed modern type of horses, but it's other situation than in Kladruby.
The Kladruby estate, which is owned by the Czech state, is also very impressive. I asked Susanna Šancová
if it had changed a lot since the days of Rudolf II.
I think it's very similar to not directly 16th century, but maybe the first half of 19th century, because in 1757 there was a great fire and the buildings, church, chateau was destroyed, and big renovation became in the beginning of 19th century, and also these tables you can see are from this time.
Established by the Habsburgs, the Kladruby Stud came in for something of a backlash in 1918, when, with the foundation of Czechoslovakia, there was a strong anti-Habsburg mood.
Fortunately, the population of grey horses was not attacked by this feeling, but black Kladruber horses had great problems, and the population of black horses was nearly destroyed, and there were only about 20 horses in Czech Republic in the beginning of 20th century, and Mr. Professor Bílek, he collected these few animals and he started with a new breeding of black horses. He served them, and nowadays we have maybe same amount of grey and black horses, but there are more differences between black horses, this population. One is big, one is small, one is fat, or one has a straight nose, one has a beautiful Roman nose. It's necessary to select them more than grey horses.
Old Kladruber horses, with a mix of Spanish and Italian blood, are quite rare. What does the future hold for the breed? And what about inbreeding?
There is 1,200 horses in the world, Kladruber horses in the world. Most of them in Czech Republic, more than 1,000. And 500 horses are in private hands. And 500 belongs to National Stud Farm, as I can say. So we have approximately 250 grey horses and 250 black horses. We have no problems with inbreeding, as I can say, because sometimes we use also blood of other kind of horse. It's necessary. Yeah. So now the stud book is closed. And it's not possible to mix Kladruber horses, for example, with Lusitano or Lipizzaner. These types are quite similar to Kladruber horses. But maybe in 20 or 30 years we will use Lusitano sire or Lipizzaner, and in this way we will get a fresh blood into the population of our Kladruber horses.
When you say that they're used for driving, do they need training? Do you have to train them from a young age?
For example, this stable we are here just now, it's for young horses in training. So these old horses around you are 4 years old, and when they are 3.5, we start with the basic training. It will take us maybe 11 or 12 months, and after this time the horse is educated in driving and riding, and the horse has to pass exams. And after this examination, we will choose horses for breeding. So we will choose, for example, 2 or 3 stallions and 5 or 8 mares. They will stay here as breeding animals, and the rest we would like to sell.
And if you'd like to ride a carriage pulled by these magnificent horses, it can be arranged if you call a couple of days in advance. You'll find a link to the National Studs website at our site. But for now, thanks once again to Susanna Shantsova, and thank you for joining me for this edition of Spotlight. Thank you.
end of today's program. I'm Christy Ironside. Tune in again tomorrow for more news and current affairs from the Czech capital. And if you have any questions or comments about anything you've heard today, you can email us at english@radio.cz, or you can send us a letter at Radio Prague, 12099 Prague 2. And you can find today's stories and much more on our website, www.radio.cz.
Nad stádem koní podkovy zvoní. Černý vůz vlečou a slzy tečou a já volám. Takhle plač můj kamaráde, náhoda je blbec, když krade. Je tuhý jak veka a řeka ho splaví. Máme ho rádi. No tak co, tak co, tak co. Vždycky si přál, až bude popel i s kytarou. Vodou ať plavou, jen žádný hotel s křížkem nad hlavou. Až najdeš místo, kde je ten pramen a kámen, co praská. Budeš mít jisto, patří sem popel a každá láska. No tak co, tak co, tak co. Nad stádem koní podkovy zvoní, zvoní. Černý vůz vlečou a slzy tečou a já šeptám. Vysyp ten popel, kamaráde, do bílé vody. Vyhasnul kotel a náhoda je štěstí od podkovy. Vysyp ten popel,
posloucháte Rádio Praha, vysílání Českého rozhlasu do zahraničí.